Continuing study in the book of Titus. I didn't plan this to fall on this subject matter on Mother's Day, but it did. So I'm just preaching through the book of Titus. So if you would look at Titus Chapter 2, we'll begin our reading there in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. We covered those two verses last week. And we saw where we need men that are described in these verses in the day and age in which we live. We need men of wisdom who are sober-minded, who are serious about the things of God, who practice self-control, who are sound in the faith, meaning they know what they believe, why they believe it. They have a loving, caring, compassionate attitude, and they need to be patient and long-suffering. We covered that ground last week. Tonight we're going to begin on God's words to women. And He starts out with the aged women. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Here you have God's words to women. First, the aged women. Then, the younger women. And I think it's significant to point out that He says, the aged women likewise. Meaning, they are held to a standard of righteousness and truth and love and patience, just like the aged men are. We need mature, godly men and women to be examples to our young people. It is so vital, and it's something I think that our world is so much in need of. Our churches are in need of it. Men and women who are united together as a family, as husband and wife, men and women who are older in the church, who provide the right kind of example for everybody else to follow. Now, He says that the behavior of the older women, and that I realize I maybe put my foot in my mouth by using that phraseology, but this is the best I can do. Here, the older women are those who are older, the aged women. These should be marked by holiness. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. God expects you to behave a certain way. And He says that they're to be marked by this, by holiness, in their appearance, their speech, and their conduct. They are to carry themselves in a sanctified manner in order to provide a good example to the younger women, for the younger women to follow. Now, if you would, keep your place there and go back to a parallel passage. I think one that relates to the one in Titus. He told something very similar to the young preacher Timothy. Go back to 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, where he says this, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So he is admonishing women, godly women, to provide a model of modesty in the way that they dress, the way they carry themselves, the way they speak, the way that they interact with men and with others, those of the opposite sex, the example that they set for their children, their young girls. She must not, a woman, an aged woman, and certainly not a young woman, she must not be seductive or alluring in her dress or in her behavior. She should never wear anything that would attract the attention of men who were not her husband. She ought to do everything in her power to be pleasing in God's sight and in her husband's sight, and to be an example to other women. Instead of drawing attention to herself, she must recommend the grace of God by the practice of good works. Not by the amount of jewelry that she has on or the expense of her clothing, but rather modesty, godliness, purity, a desire to please the Lord in the way that she appears, in the way that she conducts herself. Now, the aged women are not to be false accusers. It says that they are to be in behavior as becometh holiness. You understand what holiness is. Holiness is where you agree with God. You walk in the light as He is in the light. And you have fellowship one with another. You live in such a manner that you desire to be pure and holy and righteous as God's called us to do. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Do you love what God loves? His Word, His truth. I mean, think about the things God loves. You ought to be in line with that. That's the essence of holiness. It's walking in the light as He is in the light. And He's dealing with, first of all, modesty in appearance, in the way you handle yourself. I don't believe that a woman should be brash and loud and bossy. Have you know, there's not a man in here that'll amen any of that. You guys, you're scared to death, ain't you? You'd never make it as a preacher. But it's true. I believe that we need a revival of womanhood in our world today. But it says that the aged women are not to be false accusers. It says that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. Evidently, this was a problem in the day and age that Paul wrote these words to Titus. The older, it means that you're not to be guilty of malicious gossip or character assassination. You got to watch your tongue. Watch what you say, how you say it. Don't falsely accuse someone. Don't gossip about people. Don't be overly critical of others. Don't be mean-spirited. All of these things would fall into this idea of not being a false accuser. Older women should exercise sanctified control over their tongues so as not to bring reproach on the name of God. And certainly that ought to be true of all of us. We ought to watch what we say. Because the Bible says, every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It matters how you talk, what you say, who you say it to. Certainly we should never lie on somebody. We should never falsely accuse them of something that they're not guilty of. But evidently, it was a problem in that day, and I think it's a problem in our day. It's not enough for a woman to look modest. She must also display modesty in her speech. I've been around 37 years now. And I've learned some things. I mean, being saved. I know I don't look like I'm 57. I probably look more like I'm 37. But I've been saved for 37 years. I've been around Christian people for 37 years. I've been in churches. And I'm amazed at how women act toward each other. You know, how they kind of check each other out. They may say a snide comment here and there. Not that any of you have ever done that. But I've seen it. And I've preached all over the country. I've seen it happen. And I've actually met women who spent a lot of their time criticizing others for how they dressed, yet they were guilty of being malicious in their speech. I say you got to line up on both ends. You not only need to dress modestly, not alluringly, not seductively, not trying to get someone to look at you, but you've also got to talk right, speak right, with modesty and love and charity and grace. Older women who spend their waking hours criticizing, gossiping, and slandering others are just in the wrong. It's a sin. An aged woman who is seasoned with the grace of God is to be like the woman of Proverbs 31:10. It says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." I think that's actually Proverbs 31. It's not 31:10. It's towards the later part of the chapter. I think it's verse 28 maybe. But such a woman is to be respected and remembered for her piety, for her graciousness, especially in an age where these virtues are fast becoming extinct. I mean, we're living in a day and age where I can't believe anyone would point their daughter to the example of Beyonce or the Kardashians. They are definitely not models of virtue and holiness and godliness, yet they are the heroes of young women in our world. And I believe it's destructive. I believe it's anti-Christian to hold them up as models of virtue. Go to the Word of God. Find the models of virtue there. Not from a world that is seductive and trying to get men to lust after them. That's not godly. It's not right. And it's hurting our culture. It is demeaning women. It's degrading women. And what their whole sphere and influence is to be about. And yet people don't see it that way. They hear somebody preaching. I guarantee you, if a feminist would hear what I'm preaching on tonight, they would say, I didn't even know what this word was. A misogynist? I think they used to call them male chauvinist pigs. Well, they went from that to calling people that believe that a woman should be modest. Wow, that's your misogynist. That's a word they just make up. I never even knew what that meant. No, I love my wife. I respect my wife. I am so thankful for a virtuous woman to be an example to my daughter, and for my daughter to be an example to her daughters and to my grandkids. We need that in our age. I'll tell you what, if you're holding up Beyonce and the Kardashians and Madonna and all those goofballs up as people that you ought to look up to, you are going to be in for so much of a hurt. Because that leads to hell and to wickedness and ungodliness. The aged women it says here, are not to be given to much wine. That must have been a problem. Because Paul told there, when he talked about preachers, about pastors, that they must not be given to wine. They must have had some winos on the Isle of Crete where Titus was going to minister. They must have liked tipping the bottle. Because he warns the preacher, the young pastor, listen, when you're ordaining elders, don't ordain people who are given to wine, who are given to inebriation, who are given to drunkenness. And he's also saying to the older women, you've got to be sober. You can't allow yourself to be out of control if you're going to be a good example. I believe in ancient times, according to my studies, there were older pagan women who were often guilty of becoming drunkards. They abused strong drink and wine. And I believe that a Christian woman of virtue should never allow her mind to be clouded by the effects of intoxicating drink. Now, I'm going to say something that people don't like, but I'm one of the reasons why they're calling it a rape culture on college campuses is because young girls are getting so drunk that they have no idea what they're doing, and young men who are wicked and ungodly are taking advantage of them. It's a sin. It's wrong. And you and I have to provide the example. My kids have never seen me take a drink in my home, out in public, anywhere. The only time that they've ever seen me drink, and it's a thimbleful of wine for the Lord's Supper. And that's not enough to get you inebriated. But here he's saying, the older women, the aged women, they're not to be given to wine, to much wine. What happens? And you young ladies, listen to me carefully. You start drinking. Here's the way it goes. Usually strong drink, whether it's... People usually start off with beer. They graduate to wine. They may go to hard liquor. Next, they start smoking pot. Then they go to pills, heroin. You say, oh, it doesn't work that way. It does work that way. We are in a crisis today. And usually the gateway drug, if you will, is alcohol. Because it's easy to get. You need to warn your kids about the dangers of drugs and alcohol. Today I was talking to Emma, my 3-year-old granddaughter. And I was telling her about the evils of drugs and alcohol. And she said, I ain't going to do that. I mean, she was all about it. And you know, I really feel you got to start young. Warning them against the dangers. Because it's out there. And listen, folks, your kids and your grandkids face more than you realize. It's out there in this world. And our culture seems to be swallowing young ladies up. And it's sad when you see their virtue stolen. Their self-worth is taken away. And many of them, they throw their life away. Again, we need older women to provide the right kind of example. A Christian woman of virtue shouldn't be duped by alcohol. Because usually those who are given to the abuse of alcohol are also scandalous in their behavior and in their speech. Some of the most unbecoming and abominable women I've ever met were given to the use of alcohol before I was saved. They were wicked and ungodly. Only a virtuous woman who is marked by sobriety will be able to teach the younger women the principles of grace and godliness. Then he says that the aged women are to live in such a way that their testimony will serve as a constant teaching lesson to the younger women of that which is good and acceptable unto God. It says, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Well, what a great standard for all of us. We should want to instruct others in good things. When they see our life, we ought to be demonstrated things that are good, right, holy. Whether you're a man or a woman, you ought to be a teacher of good things. Well, for the aged women, what are some of the good things that they can teach and be an example to the younger women? Obedience to God. Modesty. Purity. Love for their husbands. Care for their children. And other principles that make up a godly testimony worthy of emulation and duplication. We need older Christian women who are willing to help younger Christian ladies by teaching them how to be faithful and submissive wives, how to be loving mothers and fruitful church members through what they say as well as what they do. And that's the instruction he gives to the aged women here. And I'll close tonight with a good quote from John Gill. Because I'm going to deal with the younger women next Sunday night. Gill said, "These should be teachers, not of old wives' fables, of superstitious customs, rites, and ceremonies, of the intrigues of love and of things filthy and obscene, which are too often handed down to posterity by such persons, but of things that are solid and substantial, useful and improving, honest and honorable, chaste and pure." I think it's interesting, whenever my grandkids come to our house, they're going to hear something about the Bible from their Grammy. She is either going to read the Bible to them, tell them a Bible story, show them a Bible DVD, talk to them about a verse of Scripture that is applicable to them that day. But listen, she talks about the Word of God. She studies the Word of God. And she tries to apply it in the way she lives. And they see their grandma living, actually living the Christian life. We need that in this day and age. May God raise up women who aspire to be faithful, modest, godly, and teachers of good things. Let's all stand.